So this is a big topic that I want to talk about today. It's something that's quite frankly frightening to me to tackle in a lot of ways. You don't get much more foundational in Christian life than what we're talking about today. And so I would covet your prayers as I talk about this today, because it is so important. And it's the way that it's truly a mystery, but it's the way that God changes our world through our prayers, right? I mean, it's an amazing process. So let's just jump in here a little bit. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And as he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass until I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Please let us be going. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." So I looked up, one of the miracles of the internet is being able to find any kind of scripture at any time you want. So I just did a search for pray. Anyone want to make a guess on how many times the word pray shows up in scripture? A little over 300. Okay, that's where it's at. As you could well imagine. And so there's lots of directions to go here. There's lots of content that could be wrestled with as we look at our prayer life. But the big question is, do we pray? So, one of the things that I was asked this week, I was talking to somebody this week, and they said, "Well, it was a topic, it was a little gossipy thing about someone else, a distant acquaintance that was doing something that maybe wasn't too savory, right?" And the question was, is this person a Christian? Is this person going to go to heaven? Are they going to go to hell? And I was thinking, that's just what we want, isn't it? We want a nice little set of rules. And we want a nice boxes to check that will define the person in their life and how they are seen in the eyes of God. And so my response to him was, "Well, look, I don't make that call. First of all, it's not for me to judge how they the particular actions of their life. But the other part of that is that it's not fair to take one slice of their life out. Here's their life, and I take one piece out and start looking at that and turning it around and saying, okay, how does that jive with Scripture, right? Who among us wants that done to us, right? I mean, in a 24-hour period, pretty much in a one-hour period, right? As to how our lives stack up against the holiness of God. And however, that doesn't mean that God can't do that, or that he doesn't have the authority to do that, or that he won't do that eventually, right? And this is one of the questions that I think he has the right to ask us. That it is clear in Scripture, time and time again, the importance of prayer and the power of prayer. Okay, it's something that we, I think, often take for granted, or that we don't truly appreciate. And these are kind of the three words that kept coming up as I was studying for this. just in the, again, you know, there's lots of different ways to build this building, but these are the words that I kind of kept coming back to. And the first one is discipline. And next week I'm going to speak again, and we'll maybe get into the other parts a little bit deeper too. But it's kind of my goal this week to talk about the importance of prayer.
There's two books basically that I'm into as I kind of prepared for this. One is Ryle's book, and the other one is by A.W. Tozer on prayer. I'm not quite finished with it yet, but both really good books. So let's read this together, because it's so good. Have you forgotten the lives that many live? Can we really believe that people are praying against sin night and day when we see them plunging into it? Can we suppose they pray against the world when they are entirely absorbed and taken up with its pursuits? Can we think they really ask God for grace to serve Him when they do not show the slightest desire to serve Him at all? Oh no. It is plain as daylight that the great majority of men either ask nothing of God or do not mean what they say when they do ask, which is just the same thing. And this was the money quote. Praying and sinning will never live in the same heart. Prayer will consume sin, or sin will choke prayer. I cannot forget this. I look at men's lives. I believe that few pray. So I remember reading that, you know, back in the day, and just thinking, there it is. I mean, we look for so much, so many, you know, so many little tools or strategies to make our life better, to improve our, you know, we walk around thinking, why don't I have more faith? Why don't I have more zeal for God? Praying and sinning will never live in the same heart. So he talks there about pray against the world. You know, so what does the world offer us? Well, one of the things that the world offers us is fear, right? What ways does it offer us fear? Well, I'll put a few of mine in, and then you know, everybody can pitch in. Oh, we're supposed to be afraid of immigration. How about that? We hear a lot about that, about the caravans and et cetera. Oh, no, wait a minute. We're supposed to be afraid of climate change. Right? Or maybe we're supposed to be afraid of a lack of health care, right? Or maybe we're supposed to be afraid of the national debt. Bell. Ah, here's a good one. We're afraid they're going to take our guns, right? Or we're afraid of too many guns. So you see a pattern going there, right? Is that the world will play us against one another, even good Christian people. It's just ridiculous. Just don't go down the road. It's a rabbit trail. It doesn't end well for anybody. Right? How about this one? Lust. It's a good favorite in an internet age, right? I carefully looked this up last night. You know, as to how many dollars are associated with the porn industry. Oh, it's debatable. It's somewhere between like $5 and $25 billion a year. That's set on destroying the lives of individuals, of families, of communities, and of nations. It's insidious and it's epidemic. How about this? About a little bit of greed sprinkled in. Oh, I need a bigger one of those. I need a new one of those. I need another one of those. Right? It's so easy to get caught in that trap. Well, just a few dollars more. Just to, you know, I've worked so hard. I deserve this. I really, really want it, you know. And then I put it in my garage, and my garage, there's like no more room for stuff in my garage, right? And so the stuff that I put in there 2 years ago that I haven't had out in 2 years is now not being used. And the list goes on and on, right? I mean, that's a long and distinguished list of things that the world has taken on. But what does Ryle say and what does the Bible say? The Bible says, pray. Just pray. And don't get caught in this worldly cycle of destruction. This is my favorite verse in the Bible right now. And I'll just jump down to verse 6. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. This is on the way out. Okay? Amen? This stuff is on the way out. And it's through prayer that we can start to not only to move it out of the way, but to see that it's not there. Wow, what did I do? There we go. Okay. So this is kind of picking up from where we left off last week. All right? Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love to one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Anyone been working on that this week, by the way? Working on that? Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. That's good stuff there. Okay? Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. You know, so prayer is... You know, why do we struggle with prayer so much, I think, is because there's so many distractions in our world. Not only this stuff, right? But just the again, if you're going to make your life better, and you're going to have the discipline to do that, you're going to have to commit to doing that. You're going to have to commit to prayer. And part of that's being constant in prayer. So, I think part of that, the idea of that is, you know, elsewhere in the Bible it talks about pray without ceasing. What does that look like? How do we pray without ceasing? How do you be constant in prayer? Well, before it started here, Chad prayed for me before I started, right? And I think I said, I cover your prayers, and I do. Even now. Okay? So we have these little moments in our life that God gives us day to day, hour to hour, that we just need to remember that He's there listening, that He wants to help, that He's going to lend an ear, that we need to take advantage of that. We need to call on Him for grace. You know, is this the right decision? Is it not the right decision? I mean, one of my favorite moments of prayer for me that God answered something in a dramatic way was, I had, you know, as part of my career, I had to take exams after school. So after I had practiced for a while, I had to take what's called a professional engineering exam. Well, it's an 8-hour exam, 4 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the afternoon. As we were closing in on noon, and by the way, this is not a couple years ago, I was a younger guy, but as we were closing in on noon, I had like, I don't know, 3 problems left, and I had 20 minutes left to do it. There was no way. It wasn't going to happen. And I was like, God, okay, Lord, I need something to happen here. And, you know, you can rationalize away a lot of stuff, and people are going to sit here and say, well, you know, he had more time than he thought, or they weren't as complicated as he thought. But I'm here to tell you, I spent 40 minutes on the problems, at least. I looked up, it was 12 o'clock, and I was done. I don't know. So this is from Tozer's book. We must offer all our acts to God and believe that He accepts them. Then hold firmly to that position and keep insisting that every act of every hour of the day and night be included in the transaction. Keep reminding God in our times of private prayer that we mean every act for His glory. Then supplement those times by 1,000 thought prayers as we go about the job of living. Let us practice the fine art of making every work a priestly ministration. Let us believe that God is in all our simple deeds and learn to find Him there. Amen. He's just everywhere. He's in when Sarah's out in the garden, and He's when Sam's mowing the yard, and He's when I'm at work crunching numbers, that God is there. That pleases Him. It's something to spend time with. This is from 1 Thessalonians. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. We talked about that last week, didn't we? Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. You know, so that, you know, there's kind of this connection here between rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. So I want to look at, you know, I call this brick and mortar, so now we're going to get to that part. So we're going to do a little structural engineering test lesson, okay? So, here's my building. And this maybe is Food City here, and over here is RCC in this corner, right? So, we get a big hurricane comes through here, right? And the wind is predominantly from this direction. So it's hitting the storefront right out here on the front of the building. So what keeps the building from falling down? What's that? The framing and the structure, yeah. But I'm going to try to, this may be a little hard to visualize for some folks, but I'm going to try and get there. Well, kind of. So if I've got a wind load on this wall, and you think about it, if you're out in the wind, holding like a piece of plywood, it's a lot of load, right? It doesn't take a very big piece of wood or, you know, sail or something like to get a lot of load. Usually it's in the like 20 pounds per square foot. That means every square foot of that wall is getting 20 pounds of square foot pushing against it lateral, sideways, okay? So here's what happens. Is that this wall, its job is to span from here to here, okay? It has to take the load here and here, along that, and half of it's going to go up here, and half of it's going to go down here. The bottom half goes right into the slab, it's gone, don't have to worry about it. But the upper half, okay, up here, is going to hit what we call the roof diaphragm. Okay? So it goes up and it goes into the roof. So I've got this big sheet of, if you were to look above here, we've got a steel deck. Okay, it's really rigid, it's really strong. But it's got to go somewhere. That load's still got to go somewhere. So now I've got that load up into here. But where does it go next? Well, it's like a beam. And this is one of the supports, and this is one of the supports. Well, I didn't do a very good job drawing that, did I? All right? So that load goes from up into here. Once it's in the roof diaphragm, it goes over to this wall, and it goes to this wall. Okay? So now, this is pushing back here, and it's pushing back here to resist this. So what's holding up the building in the windstorm, or seismic as well, is this wall. Okay? And what holds up this wall? This wall. Is that right there? Mortar. Okay? So this building is only as strong as that mortar joint. I know, some quizzical looks up. It's like, what? Why? Huh? But you're going to have to trust me on that. All right? And mortar is really quite weak in tension. If I were to take that wall and try to pull it apart, it'd be pretty easy to do. But if I try to shear it, if I'm going to try to put a load that's what we call in the plane of this wall and try to push it, okay, really strong. It's really strong. It's because I've got so much surface area with that mortar joint. All right. So what really holds up this building in a windstorm or seismic, in a cataclysmic event, right, are those little joints along the mortar. Now, it's true that this can be reinforced too, but that's really strong stuff. And that's prayer. Okay? So I think of that in this way, is that I think of the bricks as being the elements of my life. One of them is my job, one of them is my family, one of them is my kids. But it's the mortar, it's that prayer, it's that relationship with Christ that holds everything together. It makes it so much stronger. Yeah, Wes?
So if we walked up to a wall of bricks with no mortar,
yeah,
it would be simply to push over.
That's right.
And walk with the mortar.
That's right. Is it, you know, I was thinking about that is I probably should have added like this big picture of a pile of rubble, you know, because you're right. I mean, if you got no mortar at all, but really weak mortar sometimes, yeah, it just comes apart. I've been in buildings where you just walk over and you just pick the bricks off the wall because it's so deteriorated. So I look at prayer as if we want a strong life, okay? If we want things to hang around, especially when the wind comes, you gotta have that strong connection. You gotta have the prayer in your life. This is what Spurgeon has to say about it. The more praying, the more rejoicing. Again, getting back to last week's message. Prayer gives a channel to the pent-up sorrows of the soul. They flow away. And in their stead, streams of sacred delight pour into the heart. At the same time, the more rejoicing, the more praying. When the heart is in a quiet condition and full of joy in the Lord, then also will it be sure to draw nigh to the Lord in worship. Holy joy and prayer act and react upon each other. It's all bound up together. So we've kind of got this little engine. I probably should have put a little engine motor, Jeff or something on here, because prayer and thanksgiving and rejoicing are all feed off one another. The more we do of one of those, the better your life's going to get. The more you pray, the more you're going to rejoice, the more thanksgiving you have. This is Colossians. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. This is from a book as well. Watchfulness suggests a danger to be avoided, and this danger comes from two main quarters. The evil one makes the believer careless so that he neglects the very practice of prayer. Or, on the other hand, he dulls the mind and distracts his thoughts. Hence, watchfulness means a disciplined attention to continuous ministry, and it also involves a concentration of the whole being on its discharge. So, I'm going to close up here with just a couple more slides. So this is, you know, I was watching a video from John Piper, and these were three points that he made, and I thought they were really excellent points. One was to set aside a time and a place to pray. We've talked about the discipline of this, and it is true, as I mentioned before, that it's important to pray at all times, to look for opportunities to fill your day with prayer. But it's also important to spend time dedicated to that purpose and to find a place away from the distractions to do that. Two is to combine praying with the Bible. As we saw in the scripture earlier, it's easy to fall asleep, right? It's easy to get distracted and let your mind wander onto whatever it might be. Even if those are good things. I mean, sometimes I'll be trying to spend time with praying, and I start thinking about, you know, the dust on the blinds, or, you know, something like that. And so, combining praying with the Bible, with Bible study, where they feed off one another, is a really good way to focus in on your prayers. And the third is to pray in concentric circles. You know, I think the person in here that needs the most prayer is me. All right, so that's who I'm going to pray the most for. I would encourage you to do the same. I know what my sins are. I know where my weaknesses are. Quite frankly, I have the most, impact on the outcome of that prayer, right? I mean, I do. And you do as well, individually. I can pray for you, and as I start to move out in those circles, I should and will. But I need to spend a lot of time praying for myself and trying to get myself right with God to understand what He expects of me and how I can improve the lives of those around me. Okay? So this is the last one. So this is from a song which I haven't been able to get into the rotation here yet because it's like 8 minutes long, right? But it's one of my favorite hymns, and it's really good. And this is the last verse of that particular hymn. Because one day we're not going to need to pray anymore, right? One day it's all going to pass away, and we'll be in the presence of God. Haste thee on from grace to glory, armed by faith and winged by prayer. Heaven's eternal days before thee, God's own hand shall guide thee there. Soon shall close thy earthly mission, soon shall pass thy pilgrim days. Hope shall change to glad fruition, faith to sight, and prayer to praise.